Today's gospel reading today comes from John 4, 5 through 42, which can be found on page 925 through 26 in your pew Bibles. And it reads as follows. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and so Jesus, wearied as he was with his journey, sat down beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and he whom you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming where neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such the Father seeks to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will show us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said anything. But none said, "What do you wish?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the city and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples besought him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him food?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest?' I tell you, lift up your eyes and see how the fields are already white for harvest. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of your words that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." After the 2 days, he departed to Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I'd like to thank Romy for reading that very long passage. I really appreciate it. And today's epistle reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and that can be found on page 980 of your Pew Bible. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that the suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord. So the big question today for us is, where is the hope? When we look around the world, when we look around our communities, when we enter into our own individual hearts, we have that question. When we look at the East, there's warfare. When we look at the West, there's cultural confusion, there's budget cuts, there's all sorts of things that make us wonder, where's our hope? And also when we look at our own lives, maybe we're waiting for a promotion that we haven't gotten, that we felt that we were due for. Maybe we're worried about our financial situation, or worried about making friends, or finding someone to spend your time with or your life with, and we wonder, where can we find hope? Where is the hope? And that is the question we're going to answer today, is where is our hope? And in order to answer that, we're going to be focusing mainly on the first five verses of this passage. We read 1 through 11, but we're going to focus on 1 through 5 for today. And before we do that, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today, God. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the changing of the season that we so desperately can taste on the tip of our tongues, Lord. Thank you for your word, God. We just come now and we plead with you and we beg you to lift your spirit upon us, to put us in a spot that we can receive your word, Lord, that we can know your voice, and that we can respond to your call, Father. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question, where's the hope? To find one of our answers, let's look at verses 1 through 2. I will go ahead and reread that. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in the hope of the glory of God. Well, the first place, a first place we can find hope is in the presence of God. Verses 1 through 2 says, therefore. Therefore is just a fancy word to mean look at what was previously said to understand what I'm about to say. And in the previous chapters to chapter 5, Paul spends a lot of time talking about faith. And he talks about how we are justified through faith and not through our works. So we're justified through our belief in God, not through what we have done or what we have created on our own power through our works. And so he comes to chapter 5 and he says, therefore, referring to what he's saying, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, into which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You see, before Jesus came, we were separated from God. There was eternal separation. We could not have community with God. But when Jesus came, and through faith, we enter into a relationship with God. God's grace brings us across that valley, across the bridge, to a place where we can commune with God. And why is that hopeful for us? It's hopeful because when you're around something good, when you're around something great, it rubs off on you, right? When you spend time with someone, or when you spend time with something you just love and adore and that has done so much for you. For me, that's my mother. My mother has done so much for me. I wish she was here right now. I'd probably start crying, but man, she just, everything from breakfast when I was a kid to helping me get dressed when I was a kid to now when I'm an adult. If I called her right now and I said, "Mom, I'm really, really need some laundry detergent," she would mail laundry detergent as fast as she possibly could. And the reason why that is so great is because it just makes me so hopeful that I don't have to worry about things because I know my mom always has my back. Well, even more so, God has our back. Even more so, God is going to take care of us. And when we're in His presence through grace, through faith in Jesus, when we cross that bridge and we spend time with God, we know that He has our back and we get to know Him and He's great. And we know His glory, His majesty, His love, His mercy, His grace. All of the great qualities of God we begin to know and understand, and it changes us. A second way in which we find hope is through our sufferings, verse 3 and 4. "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." So when we go through sufferings, the end result is that we get hope. This sounds very familiar to a lot of us. It's because it's very similar to James chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that it may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." When we go through these trials, when we go through these sufferings, we build perseverance. And perseverance leads to character and then to hope, but perseverance also leads to maturity, being complete, lacking nothing, understanding that when we are in community with God, that when we are in relationship with God, that when we live as Christians, that the things we encounter in this world don't matter as much as sometimes we think they do. For example, when I was in college, I played golf, and I was on the golf team, and during my junior year, I went to the conference tournament, and there was 9 holes left to play, and I was in the lead. Well, I don't know how many play golf here, but that didn't last very long. In the next 3 holes, I double bogeyed 3 holes in a row, and I ended up getting 11th place in the tournament. And I remember on the second hole that I double bogeyed, I topped a driver, which means I hit the very top of the ball, and it just squibbled on the ground 20 feet in front of me straight into the water. And I was so angry, I just threw my club. I just threw my club, and possibly some words came out of my mouth that weren't very glorifying to the Lord. Well, a couple holes later, after I'd calmed down and I'd realized that this doesn't really matter, my playing partner asked me, he said, "Hey, Matt, you know, what do you study?" And I told him, "Well, I study philosophy." He's like, "Oh, wow, what do you want to do with that? Here's a perfect opportunity for me to share my faith, right? A perfect opportunity for me to say, hey, well, I want to go to divinity school. I want to be a pastor." Yet, I couldn't say that. I said, "Well, I'll go to graduate school." But I couldn't say that because for the last 3 holes, 4 holes prior, I was acting like a complete jerk. I was inconsiderate to my playing partners. I was using words that weren't appropriate. I was throwing things. I was angry. And I missed the opportunity to share God's love because I was so focused on what the world could offer me or what this golf tournament could offer me. Well, the thing is that when we go through sufferings and we are Christians, we understand that it doesn't really matter. Whether I won that golf tournament or not did not matter one bit. Whether we get what we want does not really matter. Now, I'm not to say that it doesn't matter that we have shelter or that we have food. Those things are important. But when we go through life, our world and our culture tells us you need all these things. You need the best cell phone. You need a good education. You need all of these things. And sometimes they don't work out. And when they don't work out, we're heartbroken. When they don't work out, we don't know exactly what to do. But the hope that we find today in this scripture is that when those things don't work out, it doesn't really matter because we already have relationship with our Savior. We already came into grace through Jesus Christ. So these things that we worry about, these little things that we worry about, and even sometimes the big things don't matter because we already have all that we need in Jesus Christ, in our Lord. A second way in which our sufferings brings hope is that it makes us stronger. When I was in fifth grade, I had the biggest crush on a cute girl named Madison. I just was absolutely fifth grade head over heels for Madison. And I came home one day and I just like, I gotta ask her to be my girlfriend. And of course, you don't ask them on a date. You just like, hey, do you want to casually be my girlfriend? And then you just tell people that because that's how it works in fifth grade. And so I got a yellow book, which don't even exist anymore, the yellow pages. And I'm looking through her last name, Sufal. I find Sufal. And I knew where she lived. I knew her address. That's kind of creepy, but I knew it anyways. And I found her number and I called her and I was fifth grade and I said, hey, Madison. And she said, yeah, who is this? And I was like, this is Matt from school. She's like, oh, hey, what's up? I was like, do you want to be my girlfriend? And she was just like, no. And I was heartbroken. Honestly, I was so heartbroken. I'll never forget where I was. I was in my sister's room, and the main reason I remember that is because she had a hideous floral yellow bed cover, and that's what I was crying into was her comforter that was hideous. Anyways, a couple days pass, and I say to myself, you know what? Maybe she changed her mind. You know, maybe she does want to date me, but she was scared. So I called her back, and she said no again. But I can tell you one thing. That second time she called, I wasn't as upset. I was not crying in my sister's comforter. I was not running around the house thinking that I was worthless because I had become stronger from the first suffering. Now, I know this is a silly example, and this is some people might say a little cute example, but that's what happens when we go through bigger sufferings. Right? We go through something that's really, really hard. It's really, really difficult. That breaks our heart. And then the second go around, it's not quite as bad. And you build this perseverance. And the reason that this gives us hope is because we know that when we go through these things, that the next time it won't quite be as bad. And we can look forward to the fact that we are becoming mature and that we are becoming complete and not as affected by these things. And finally, sufferings bring us hope because they show us what exactly we're looking forward to. What I mean by that is when it's really cold outside and it's snowing like it was this past week, didn't we all really look forward to summer even more? Even more we wanted summer. So when we go through our sufferings, even more so, we want that glorious day with no more suffering. Even more so, we want that day where we are eternally with God. Even more so, we're ready for that and we're excited. So when it's snowing and when it's raining in your life and whatever that means for you, you're excited for summer. And that summer is eternal life with the Lord. Third way in which this brings us hope is found in verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. The story Romy read was about a woman at the well. Very common story. All of us who have grew up in church have heard this numerous times. It's just a story about a woman who encounters Jesus and her life is changed. She encounters Jesus at the well. She believes in who Jesus is, and she goes on to tell many people. Well, that's a great story. But there's better news today for us. That like the woman in the well, we have encountered Jesus for those of us who believe in God. We have encountered Jesus. But unlike the woman at the well, we have something extra. We have something special, and that is the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus was on earth here during that story. During the story with the woman at the well, he was on earth. His Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out onto earth. But now that Jesus is gone, we have an advocate. We have a helper. And we find that the hope we look for is actually in us. It's in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. When we believe in Jesus and when we receive the gift of the Spirit, we receive an eternal hope because we know that in the seasons of rain, in the seasons of terrible things that are happening, we don't have to meet Jesus at the well. We can meet his Holy Spirit right here and now, wherever you are. In your bed, in your car, at work, at school. It doesn't matter where you're at. And that's an awesome thing. That is an amazing thing. So what does this mean for us? What does it mean that we have hope from our sufferings, that we have hope from the Holy Spirit, we have hope from our time spent in the presence of God? Well, it means that no one can steal our joy. Everyone look to their neighbor right now and say, no one is stealing my joy. No one can steal our joy. Because no one can come and take away the Holy Spirit from us. No one can come and take away sufferings from us except for Jesus. And if that happens, then hallelujah. And no one can take away the presence of God because Jesus Christ has promised us that through his life, death, and resurrection. No one can steal our joy. The second thing is we get to live a life of kingdom building. Like the example I told you at the golf tournament, had I not had my hope in this tournament, I would have been able to share a gospel message with that young man. If we live our lives this way, someone is going to see a difference in the way we react to suffering. Someone is going to see us be different, and they're going to ask us, why are you different? And that's an opportunity to share the gospel. And then finally, freedom. This hope gives us freedom. We are free to be ourselves. One of my favorite worship songs, the chorus says, we are free to run, we are free to jump, we are free to sing, and we are free to dance. We are free to do those things in our life. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating to go on the side of the road and do cartwheels, and you know, people might think you're weird, but we are free to do whatever we please. Not in a sinful nature, but in a nature knowing that the time on this earth does not decide where we end up in eternity. That the things that happen while we live don't matter that much. We are free to live a life that is not chained to this world. We don't have to be chained to our budget. We don't have to be chained to our fears and our anxieties. Yes, we might have to live under those things and under those principles, but we don't have to fear them. We have the freedom to live our lives without fear. Jesus Christ is amazing. I love Jesus. And I know that so many of us in here also love Jesus. And as we go throughout our week, I just pray that we meditate on the hope that he brings. If any of us here are going through a trial, going through a sufferings, I urge you just to pray to Jesus, to meditate on his promises, and to know that he has brought hope to you, and to know that that hope is accessible through his Spirit. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the hope that comes from you, God. An eternal hope that cannot be taken away, Lord. Thank you for the many silly sufferings we have. And God, thank you for the serious sufferings we have, the ones that really cause us pain, Lord. Thank you for using those to bring us hope, God. Thank you for your presence in each one of our lives, to be around you and to know, Lord, that we are loved. I pray for this community, God. I pray for the people here that are struggling with faith, that are struggling with turmoil, with sufferings, Lord. I pray that you encounter them and that you meet them, Lord. I pray that you give them a fresh sense of your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that you promised to us as a helper, as an advocate, Lord, because we need the help. We need the advocacy. Lord God, and help us as individuals to know you more so that we can go out into our communities and build your kingdom, God. Help us solve the divides out there. Bridge the gap between left and right, between tall and short, black and white, whatever the divide is, Lord. Help us to bridge it through your hope, God. Help us to know that hope does not come through isolation, or hope does not come through any of the isms out there, Lord, but hope comes from you, oh God. And we pray this all in your magnificent Son's name, in his beautiful, glorious name. Amen.